If you would tonight, turn in your Bibles to the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, Psalm 8. The book of Psalms, Psalm 8. And we want to focus on verses 1 and 9, since they are identically the same. And then we'll read 2 through 8, and we'll mention those as we go through. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful and grateful that we can come back again here to your house to be with your people again today. That makes it a blessed day when we can be with our brothers and sisters in Christ in the house of the Lord with an open Bible, eager to hear from you. So God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight, that you would help us as we open your word to understand it. Help us to rightly divide it so that everything that is said is true. And that which would be untrue is left unsaid. Let everything be said be helpful and be glorifying to you. Be with your people that you may open their ears to hear. Give them an eagerness to desire your word. Open their minds to understand. Open their hearts to receive. Open their wills to obey. Help us to rejoice in the greatness of our God. Help us to have joy unspeakable because we are the children of God. So do for us what only you can do. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name and for Christ's sake we pray. Amen. Psalm 8. This is a psalm of David. He writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea. Whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And all God's people said, amen. We're looking at these passages that mention something about the name of Christ. So far, we have looked at a few of them. Let me just remind you, he has been given a name. Christ has been given a name by his Father, and it is a name which is above every name. So that at his name, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There is no salvation in any other name, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And tonight, we look at Psalm 8:1, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. This particular psalm is the first psalm of praise written by David. It is a psalm that mostly describes man and describes man's place in created order. But the psalm doesn't begin talking about man. It begins talking about God. The psalm begins with a celebration of the majesty of God. And the psalm begins and the ends with the same point. In verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And in verse 9, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. So what he says about man is sort of bookended by this majesty of God. And so when we think about ourselves, about man, I don't think we can do that unless we think about ourselves in relation to the Lord. So let's look at this text a little bit tonight. And let me share with you three things. Number one, notice the plurality of his name. This is, verse 1, this is a declaration of the greatness of God. God is great. He's not the greatest because there is no competition. He is great. My God is great. Your God is great. It is a declaration by the psalmist of the greatness of God. And there are two words translated Lord here. Lord translated twice, but they're not the same word in the Hebrew. O Lord, our Lord. Both of them translated Lord, but they're not the same word. The first word in your Bibles, I hope, is designated by being in all caps. Is yours in all caps, the first Lord? That is the translation of the Hebrew word Yahweh, Jehovah. It is not a generic name for God. It is a personal name of Israel's God that is built upon the statement that God makes in Exodus 3 when he says, I am who I am. So God, this word Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, it is the name that God gives himself. You remember Moses said, well, who do I tell them sent me? And then God gives them his name, Tell them, I am sent you. And so this is the word Yahweh. It is a word that implies the absolute existing one, the one who simply is, the one who did not come into being and does not go out of being and never changes in his being because he is an absolute being. Say amen. He is a God that hasn't begun. He is a God that doesn't end. He is a God that never changes. He is the everlasting I am. And he depends on absolutely nothing for his being. But everything else depends on him. One of the things that we need to remember about God is he doesn't need us. Greatness doesn't need us. We need him. And we depend upon him. He doesn't depend upon us. And so there is no place on all the earth where God is not the absolute one. There is no place on God, on earth where God is not Yahweh. Everywhere, everything depends absolutely entirely on him. Nothing exists outside of him. And there are no competitors anywhere. You know, sometimes I get a little tickled when I hear folks talking about good and evil as if Satan and God are on equal terms and they're fighting this thing out. No. Satan is not even in the same ballpark as God. God is so far beyond everything else. In fact, he says he is above all things everywhere. He sustains all things everywhere. He is the ground for all things. He is the goal of all things everywhere. All things are created by him and for him and to him. He is greater and wiser and more beautiful and more wonderful than everything everywhere. That's the idea. That's what the psalmist is trying to get across. He is greater and wiser and more beautiful and more spectacular and more wonderful than everything everywhere. Yahweh, O Lord. And then he mentions another word. The word Lord, not in all caps, which is the Hebrew word Adonai. It means master or Lord. It signifies majesty or intensification, and it always is used of God. The meaning of Adonai is the sovereign Lord, who is and who has ultimate authority, all power, and all rule. It is used of the Messiah of Christ in Psalm 110, verse 1. So these two names, both translated Lord in our English Bibles, one of them speaks to his ability. He is Yahweh. He is a self-existing one. He depends on nothing. And the other speaks of his authority. He is able, and he has the authority. It really is a name and a title. He is the sovereign, self-existing one. Now, you may be asking this question, because if I was sitting where you were, I would be asking this question too. You might be asking, I thought we were doing the names of Jesus, and this seems to be the name of God. But I want you to look at that second Lord, the word Adonai. In the Hebrew, it is in the plural sense. God is plural. In other words, He is they and they are Him. Say amen. There is a triune thought here. It is God the Father who is Adonai. It is God the Son who is Adonai. It is God the Spirit who is Adonai. God the Father and God the Son and God the Spirit all are in ultimate authority. And so when the psalmist here heaps praises upon God, he's not just thinking God the Father, he's thinking the triune Godhead. He's thinking Father, Son, and Spirit. And so the idea of this name also applies to God the Son. And when we speak of God, we speak of one God who is in three distinct, separate, but united persons. So I'm glad you asked that question so I could explain it to you. Amen? So we see here, firstly, the plurality of His name. Mentioned twice, Lord, Lord, Yahweh, Adonai, mentioned in plurality for the triuneness of the Godhead. And I would say this, they are all great. The greatness is to all of the Godhead, Father, Son, Spirit. Notice number two, the position of His name. The psalmist says, "How excellent is Thy name, O Lord, our Lord. How excellent is Thy name, O Yahweh, our Adonai. O God that is able, O God that is the authority, how excellent is Thy name." And the word here, excellent, in the Hebrew means majestic. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic Thy name is. It is an adjective that is translated numerous ways in Scripture. It's translated as excellent, glorious, famous, mighty, wide, great, high, noble, splendid, magnificent. All of those apply to God. And in this case, it describes the excellence of the nature and the essence of our God, Father, Son, and Spirit. So what David says here is He is our Lord. David says that Jehovah is his God. And he begins with that name, maintaining that Jehovah is so majestic that His glory is so great that it is above the heavens. His glory just doesn't fill the heavens. His glory fills the heavens to it's above the heavens. The word glory here refers to His nature and to His essence. It is not only His name that is excellent, but He Himself is excellent. You listening? Our God is the most important being in existence. The heavens, even the highest of the heavens, cannot contain Him. The reason that the creation, as wonderful as it is, cannot exhaust the glory of God is that God is its maker. So although creation does express His glory, creation does reveal His existence, His wisdom, His power, as well as other of His attributes, it is only a partial revelation of the greatness of God who stands behind it. In other words, no amount of praise that His creation could muster would ever be close to the praise and the glory that He is worthy of. His glory surpasses even the greatness of the heavens. So, David says there is none above Him. There is none like Him. There is no other God besides Him. He is the highest being in the highest place. As great as the heavens are, He is even greater. He is great on earth and He is great in heaven. There is none greater in all of history. And yet, God's name is not acknowledged as great on all the earth, is it? There are 500 million Muslims who place Allah on the throne of their hearts. There's 250 million Buddhists who bow down to a graven image of Buddha. There's 500 million Hindus who bow at the feet of countless idols. And there are millions of atheists who deny that there's even a God at all. But to those who have come to know Him, to those who have come to love Him, to those of us who have come to see Him in all of His greatness, His is a name that is above every name. How excellent is our God! It is His saving, sovereign name. What a God we have. What a God we have. Number three. We see the plurality of His name. O Lord, Yahweh, our Lord, Adonai, the Godhead. How excellent is Thy name. His name is in the position of excellence. His glory is high above the heavens. Notice thirdly the praise of His name. I think we would agree with David, who magnifies here in this psalm that God is the creator and the sustainer of all things. Everything that there is has been created by God. And everything that continues to be is sustained by God. If God would cease to sustain us, we would all just simply be gone. David says, all of creation is the work of His fingers. He says here, that God is so powerful and God is so excellent that He has created all things by decree. He's ordained them to be. He's decreed them to be. It wasn't the work of His hands, it was the work of His Word. He speaks a word, and it is. There are no arguments. There's no hesitation. He says, let there be light. And the very next words were, and there was light. That's how great our God is. That He can just speak and it be made out of nothing. Let there be light. Let there be this. Let there be that. And it was so. So here's the question. Here's the question of the psalmist. Here's the question on my heart many times. We all agree we have a great God, right? There is no greater being ever. There will be no greater being ever. He is excellent. He is majestic. He is higher than the highest high. He speaks, and things come into existence. He has set the moon and the stars in place with his finger. So why would a God like this waste his time and attention on people like us? That's the question. Why would a God that powerful, why would a God that excellent, why would a God that glorious, why would a God that powerful waste his time and attention on people like us? I think that we are the most insignificant of all God's creative work. We are tiny. Is it not amazing? Are you not amazed as David was amazed that this God, this great God, this excellent God, that he would think about us? Who is man that he would be mindful? And he thinks about us not just as a passing thought, but God thinks about us in such a way as to do things to meet our needs. Why would a God so excellent, so glorious, and so wonderful, and so majestic, why would this God care about us? It is the wonder of His grace, is it not? That He would be mindful of puny, tiny humanity. But David says here in this psalm that God shows His excellence, God shows His power, God shows His gloriousness by working in and through weak humans like us. It is when God takes the least and does the most that His power is seen. Say amen. I mean, think about how small we are in this vast cosmic setting that we are on. We are on a planet. We're small people on a small planet in a huge galaxy. And we're just one of millions of galaxies. How astonishing is it that the God who made this universe, who put things in place with His fingers, that the God who made it and the God that orders it and the God that sustains it and the God that keeps it on schedule, how astonishing is it that this God should think of us and care for us? The psalmist says that God in His grace gave us dominion over His works. He crowned insignificance with glory and honor. He put things under our feet. And of course, what did we do with it? We sinned and marred it all. And God created all things, and God sustains all things. And God has come to us in the person of Jesus Christ for what reason? To save us from our sins. Now I want you to get this now. The God of the universe who put everything in place cares for us and thinks about us. And then even when we sin against Him, He still thinks about us. He still cares about us. And He sends His Son to die for us to save us from our sins. And He did for us what He did not do for fallen angels. Say amen. Did He redeem fallen angels? No. Did he become an angel to die for them? No. Fallen angels are forever relegated to hell in the lake of fire. But this God thought about you, cared about you enough to send His Son to redeem you. Is it not amazing that, I mean, get the word majestic. It is used for kings. Your majesty. Say amen. Your majesty. This God who is elevated to the highest place, His majesty, His greatness, His awesomeness. This God who has made it all. This God who the creative works cast back to Him praise. He has stooped to save insignificant people like us. It is only the grace of God and the goodness of God that's true. He not only created man, He not only thinks about man, He not only cares about man, He became a man. What? Listen to Paul writing to the church at Philippi. Speaking of Jesus Christ and being found in the fashion as a man, He humbled Himself. And became. Let's stop there. The idea of greatness humbling itself is beyond our comprehension. We all agree that He's great. We all agree that He's magnificent. That His glory is above the heavens. And yet, He humbled Himself. He wasn't humbled. He humbled Himself. To what extent? He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is what? Lord. O Lord, our Lord. How excellent is Thy name. To the glory of God the Father. So, I don't know what question this is, but maybe question 3. Do you all ask yourself questions? Do you ask the text questions? When you read the Bible, do you ask questions? You should. So, if this is true, that God, Yahweh, Adonai, the self-existing, sovereign God who has made everything, who is excellent, who is majestic, whose glory is above everything. The one who spoke things into existence, the one who decreed things to be, the one who creates, the one who sustains, the one who puts planets and moons and stars in their place, the one who was mindful of the most insignificant of creatures, you and I, and not only mindful of us, but wanted to care for us, and even after we sinned, He sent His Son to die for us and to save us and become man like us. He humbled Himself even to the death of the cross. What should our response to that be? It should be absolute praise. I think, as God's people who know this about God, right? What the psalmist David says here, we all could say, amen. That is right. That is true. Absolutely, that is true. We who know that, I think we have a responsibility. It is our responsibility to praise God. God's people, we know Him as Jehovah. We know Him as Adonai. Those who know Him in His excellence, those who know Him in His in the limitlessness of His glory, what are we to do? We are to praise Him. We are to live our lives to His glory. We are to serve Him. We are to marvel at this God. We are to be astonished every day at this God. Whether we are eating or whether we are drinking, we are to do everything all to His glory. We are to think about Him. We are to speak about Him. We are to magnify Him. We are to praise Him in everything, in every day, in every way, in everything we do and say, to His glory. I can't wait till the day. I can't wait till the day that we can do it in a glorified body. I can't wait to hear. I have been in places. I have heard 1,000, 1,200, 2,000 men singing a cappella the songs that magnify Him. Oh, I can't wait to hear the sound of millions, of multitudes that no man can number, to hear the voice of a multitude that no one can number lift up their praise to Him without any distractions, without any hindrances, without any stopping, just on and on, praise of who He is. I can't wait. I can't wait. I was talking to Reva the other night, and I told her, I said, I can't wait to see Him. We were talking about Christmas and Him coming. I said, I can't wait to see Him. He said, well, it may not be too far off the way things are going. I said, you're right. That'll be okay. That'll be just fine. To enter into His presence and worship Him and glory in Him and see the magnificence and the excellence of who He truly is. I can't. Can you?